Welcome to In the Narthex, a radio program of the Sacred Metropolis of New Zealand. I am your host, Father Pavlos Patitsas of the Holy Trinity Greek Orthodox Church of Auckland, located in lovely Western Springs. Today, as we begin our program, we want to say a quick hello to Iro Karagiorgiou. Iro, hello to you.
Hello. I'm very happy to be here with you.
Thank you so much for coming to the studio with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And what brings you to New Zealand?
I had the happiness and the joy to have you as our priest to baptize my husband-to-be, Robert, and later on to have our wedding here in Auckland.
Wow.
And we are very happy, and we feel really blessed, and we thank you very much, both you and Presbytera Katerina, for helping us to make this dream come true.
Thank you so much. It was a dream come true for us, too, that day, and your husband, Robert, of course, his Christian name, Alexandros Pandelimon. It was a wonderful event. And Presbytera, you want to say hello to everyone also?
Hello, everyone.
We're glad to have everybody in the house, as they say. We began a new series on our program, The Narthex, 2 weeks ago. Oh, and by the way, Chronia Pola, many years to you and your husband, you know. We began a new series in our program, in The Narthex, 2 weeks ago. We are talking about that invigorating topic of the Beatitudes. Many of us are familiar with the Beatitudes as the apex of the Lord Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew. The word beatitude is a translation of the Greek word makarismi, or makarismos, the blessing statements that our Lord spoke to the gathered multitude. They are that collection of phrases that Jesus preached that begin with the words blessed. We've talked about the first two already, blessed are the poor, and blessed are those who mourn. And we learned that Jesus spoke in paradox, and he spoke eschatologically. That is to say, he did not speak in a way that people would expect. He turned their expectations on their heads. And when we say eschatologically, we mean that he spoke in a way that brings the eschaton present, the eschaton being the end of all things. In Christ, the pronouncements of the blessings have already reached their fulfillment. One doesn't have to wait till one dies or the world ends to realize the fruition of Christ's statements. Actually, I need to correct myself here in an ironic way. Today's beatitude does require a death, and we will be talking about that today. If you know anything about radio, that is the hook. I'm not telling you everything up front because I want you to keep listening to the end of the program. Many of our beloved listeners have expressed to us how much they enjoy the music on this program, and some of the music you are hearing here for the first time. We count on Presbytera Katerina for helping us with that each week. Presbytera, what interesting music do you have for our listeners today?
Okay, so we'll be listening to the Beatitudes sung by a beautiful women's group called Sweet Honey in the Rock.
Okay, I'm excited to hear it.
Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are
of God.
From that beautiful singing group, Sweet Honey in the Rock. I hope you like that song, the Beatitudes. Of course, you can also hear their song called The Sweet Honey in the Rock, if you Google it. I hope that you've been enjoying our series on the Beatitudes. If you want to follow along in your Bible, please turn to the Gospel of St. Matthew in the 5th chapter, verse 3 and following. We have looked at the first two of Christ's 9 Beatitude statements. To the poor in spirit, Christ promises a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And to those who mourn, he promises comfort, consolation. Today we study the third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now the Greek word for meek here in the text is prais, in singular praos. And the word for meekness, praotita. Sometimes you will also see it translated as gentleness. The Orthodox Study Bible, which we use as a reference here on our program, defines meekness in a poignant way. Meekness is the attitude of being content with both honor and dishonor. Such people, our Lord says, shall inherit the earth. If you have in your mind the movie image of Jesus preaching to the multitude, it may be a little hard to understand why Jesus Christ is saying these words to the multitudes. As we look at them, we see that they are poor, weak, ill. In short, the meekest of people. Is Christ addressing the already meek and counseling them to keep being meek? Perhaps that is the case for many of those gathered there. After all, they have left their homes, their responsibilities, their employers to be present with Christ, and they're sitting on the ground, and they have a posture of humility. They're not expecting special treatment. Certainly, these are the meek. But the meekness that Christ is seeking is something more than that, and is certainly more than complacency. Christ is talking about meekness that comes from dispassion. There's a cute story in the Gerondicon, the sayings of the elders of the church, in particular the desert-dwelling elders, the ascetic elders, about a man who desired to be a monk. And so the elder, to test his intention, gave him a seemingly absurd instruction. "Young man," he addressed the man who intended to be a monk, "do you want to be a monk? Then see this rock. Revile it. Speak evil against this rock. That is your obedience for now." The young man, confused but desiring to fulfill his obedience with attention, began to seriously revile the rock, to speak evil against it, to speak words to the rock that cannot be repeated on this or any radio program. And he yelled at it, and he stomped at it, and he threw stones at it. And after a time, he became exhausted with the effort, and he cried out to his elder, "Yerunda," he said, "I have no more strength nor words with which to revile this rock, as you have commanded me." The wise elder then asked the young man, "And now, this rock, regardless of how violently you abused it, did it respond to you? How did it respond to you?" "It did nothing, elder. It did not respond in any way." "Learn from this rock, then, my son. This is the way you are to be, if you truly desire to be a monk." Oh. The meek, dear listener, are those who receive honor and dishonor with equanimity. We might say in psychological terms that they don't have an ego. But of course, we all have an ego. Ego is, after all, just the Greek word for ego. That is to say, me, myself, I. So it is not so much as not having an ego. So perhaps those gathered at Jesus' feet listening to the sermon are all the idealized meek, as we might see in a Hollywood production. But what if those gathered multitude were more like us, full of confusion and sin? The paradox of Christ's words will help us to understand here what he is talking about. The meek, he says, will inherit the earth. Inherited from whom? Well, obviously from those who are not the meek. That is to say, from the proud, the angry, those who insist on their own way, the stubborn, the self-absorbed. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but Jesus is talking to you and me. And I would imagine to many of the people who are listening here today. We, the self-centered and self-absorbed, need to die so that the meek can inherit the earth. Now, lest you worry too much, remember, Jesus Christ is intending for us to inherit the earth. So in order for us to inherit it, it is we who need to die. We need to die to the false and shallow way of being so that we can inherit what our stubborn, proud, and self-centered hearts could not. We shall inherit the earth. So that's the paradox. In order to inherit the earth, we need to die to our self-centered ways. When we have done this, it will seem to us as if the earth contains new beauty. We will see its beauty present everywhere, causing us to be glad, to be happy, to rejoice. The laugh of a baby will bring riches to us. The bend of a branch we'll perceive as a sculpture. The breeze will be a prayer for us. The fragrance of flowers will remind us of incense and church, a babbling brook, poetry. When we were full of ourselves, we could not receive the beauty. But in death to this dark version of ourselves, we inherit the earth. And it is the Lord's to give to us. He says in the book of Psalms, "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and all who dwell in it."
Child, beloved, and future is laid in your promise, Jesus. To the end of the age, I am not alone or forgotten. So I will not worry or fret. My God is the God who will never forget all of his goodness and all of his promises. He's holding my world, so I will not worry or fret. My God is the God who will never forget all of his goodness and all of his promise.
We just shared a lovely song by a new artist for our program, Christian Stanfill, spelled with a K, Christian. And the song is called Holding My World from his album Mountains Move. So to receive this inheritance, we're now reviewing, of course, the Beatitude, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We need to acquire meekness. We need to forgive others, to release our grudges, to tear up the record of wrongs, to accept honor and dishonor with equanimity. Christ is not counseling weakness, but strength. Not strength as in power over others, but power over our selfish, self-centered self. And one more thing. Once we inherit the earth, we have a responsibility towards it, to accentuate its beauty, to live in its beauty, and to return it in doxology to God. I have to say, just as an aside now, we are coming to this radio studio now for over a year, and many times we hear the people speaking about greening the planet. That's actually a lovely thing. We should make the planet greener. We should make it more beautiful in every way. And so those things don't have to be anti-Christian, or we shouldn't see them as contradictory to our faith. The one who will heal the earth is the one who can turn the cheek. It is the one who, confronting an enemy, can encounter a friend. Not too long ago on this program, we told you of the nuns of Maalula, of the St. Thecla Monastery in Syria. Though kidnapped and threatened with death, speaking for all the nuns, the abbess, Mother Blaja Sayaf, said about their captors upon their release from captivity, "They were nice to us. We were treated well. They left with smiles and embraces." Such is the strength of meekness. It opens shut doors. It hears in the silence. It sees things hidden. It is the presence of love to the wounded and to the whole. We thank God again for their release from prison.
Cloud of Witnesses, Lives of Saints of the Holy Orthodox Church.
The monk martyrs, Fyodor and Vasily of Pechersk. The holy monk martyrs, Fyodor and Vasily of Pechersk, pursued asceticism in the 11th century in the near caves of Kiev. Saint Fyodor distributed his riches to the poor, set off to the monastery, and settled in the Varangian cave, adjoining the caves of the monk Theodosi. He dwelt there many years in strict temperance. Then the enemy of our souls sowed sorrow in him about the giving away of his possession. Saint Vasily comforted him. "I implore thee, brother Theodor, forget not the reward. If you wish possessions, take everything that is mine." So sweet. The monk Theodor repented himself and dearly loved as a friend the monk Vasily, with whom he lived in the cell. One time, the monk Vasily, during the course of 3 months, was on a monastic errand outside the monastery. The devil, having assumed his form, that is to say, the form of Vasily, appeared to monk Fyodor and indicated that there was a treasure hidden somewhere in the cave by robbers. The monk wanted to leave the monastery to buy possessions to live in the world, to, in other words, discover this treasure that the demon had revealed to him. But when the true monk Vasily returned, the demonic illusion disappeared. And from that time, the monk Fyodor started to be more attentive to himself. In order not to be distracted by idle thoughts during moments of inactivity, he set up for himself a millstone, and by night he ground grain. Thus, by long and zealous ascetic effort, he freed himself from the passion of avarice. A report reached Mstislav Sviatopolkovich that the monk Fyodor had found much treasure in the cave. He summoned the monk to him and commanded him to show the spot where the valuables were hidden. St. Fyodor answered the prince that indeed he had seen in the cave much golden vessels. But from temptation, he together with the monk Vasily had buried them. And God took from him the memory where it was hidden. Not believing the saint, the prince gave orders to torture him to death. They beat St. Fyodor so much that his hair shirt was wet with blood. And then they hung him head downwards, having put beneath him a bonfire. In a drunken condition, the prince commanded them to torture also St. Vasily, and then to kill him with an arrow. Dying, the monk martyr Vasily threw the arrow at the feet of Prince Mstislav and predicted that he himself would soon be mortally wounded by it. The prophecy was fulfilled, and on the 15th of July in 1099, on the walls of Vladimir's fortress, Prince Mstislav, during the time of an internecine war with David Igorevich, was suddenly struck in the chest by an arrow through an opening in the timbers. And on the following night, he died. Recognizing his own arrow, the prince said, "I die because of the monk martyrs Vasily and Feodor." This text comes to us from Minologion, the online downloadable source for the lives of the saints. You can visit it at www.orthodox.org/Minologion. We want to thank you so much for listening to our program today. We've enjoyed offering it to you. As we said earlier, we are going through the Beatitudes, and we have now read three of them. We also mentioned earlier that we have in our studio today Miss Iro Karagiorgiou, and we're very glad to have her in the studio with us. She was recently married in our church to her husband, Robert Bell. And, of course, we have Presbitera Ekaterina in our studio as well today. May I ask you ladies to turn on your microphones and we'll have a little dialogue. We have a little bit extra time on the program today. And to just get some thoughts that you might have when you hear these words of our Lord when he says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Have you ever given any thought to these words, Iro?
Well, I think this is what we are always taught, and what being an Orthodox is, to be modest in order to have a life that will allow us to go to heaven, because we all believe that this is this one life that we have here is just to prepare us for heaven. Therefore, we must have this modesty in order to be allowed one day to get there.
That's beautifully put. We have only one life, as that's actually what they were saying on the radio program right before our program was on. We were listening to the Roman Catholic program right before our program went on, and the priest was saying about the death of his brother. Yes, we have one life.
One life here.
One life
because
here.
Because we all expect the eternal life.
The eternal life in the world to come. Presidenta, what do you think? What comes to your mind when you hear those words?
You know, meekness is something that has always been hard for me to grasp. So I read when Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek," and I think of other people. I don't necessarily think about myself. It's really hard for me to understand what is the essence of that character, except for once in a while when I meet someone who's like that.
Yeah.
And they catch me by surprise.
Well,
it's very touching.
I know some of the people you've met because I have lived with you all these years.
Yeah.
One of them was certainly Irondisa Taxiergia. She was meek. And meek, we said in the program, does not mean weak. even though they rhyme in English, they have nothing to do with each other in meaning. Weak is not meek, meek is not weak. So she was very meek, and yet you had always the impression that she's a very strong person.
She was very strong as well. She was deeply grounded in prayer and in the spirit of our Lord. She was very humble.
How did she demonstrate her meekness, as you remember it?
I think the first thing that I can remember is that she never took anything personally, and she always, it just can't seem to come so naturally. She saw everything from somebody else's perspective. If your comfort, your thirst, was more important to her than any comfort or thirst or pain or anything that she could feel.
Such a rare quality.
The other people, yeah, they always came first.
Yeah. I remember one time we were at the monastery with her, and she asked us to help with the Vespers, and she said, please, can you say the psalm for the Vespers, which begins, Evloiki psichimon ton Kyrion, bless the Lord, O my soul. Now, there are two psalms that begin, bless the Lord, O my soul. So, Presidenta said, okay, I'll do my best, and Presidenta began to say the second psalm, not the one actually that was intended for the Vespers, but she knew this psalm by heart, and she chanted it beautifully. I remember it very vividly.
Oh, yeah, we weren't even supposed to chant it. We were supposed to read it.
Yeah, but you knew it by heart, and you sang the whole thing, and she never once corrected you and said, no, that's not the psalm.
Well, it's not like she never corrected anybody, but she noticed how important it was for me at that moment to be able to, that I could contribute to the service. And that's all that mattered, is that I gave something, that I had something to give, and it was okay. And then, of course, I was embarrassed afterwards, but that's a story for another time.
Yeah, but not by her. I mean,
she never embarrassed me.
She was so meek about it, but yeah. It was a beautiful, beautiful moment that I'll never forget. Well, we are coming to the conclusion of our program today. We thank you, Yiro, for joining us. And even though Robert's not in the studio with us, he's somehow present with us today. We welcome him, too, and his brother Henry. And we thank all of you for listening to our program today. As always, we close by reminding you that this program is a ministry of love toward you, our beloved listeners, from the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of New Zealand, which is headquartered in Wellington, and whose Archshepherd is His Eminence, Archbishop Amphilochios. Remember, this program is offered every Friday at 3:15 on Planet FM. You can listen again online at www.planetaudio.org.nz/in the narthex. We close today with our beloved Audrey Assad, her song, Humble.
Not too proud to wear our skin.